Here's the undermining of academia, is what's called intellectual narcissism. The narcissism of thinkingness and the ability to put together something that sounds pseudo-persuasive, such as Marcuse and the relativists, this is intellectual narcissism. Daniel Dennett, we should get rid of all faith, religion, etc., and free the people. He sounds like Karl Marx. Free the people. Religion is the opium of the people, is what he's saying. And this is his own intellectual narcissism. You see it in skepticism as well. The skeptic says, the human mind unaided, you cannot arrive at truth, and I agree with them. They then will go on and proceed and give you a big, long argument, which they believe in, which, of course, they have faith in that. Well, they just got through knocking faith, but they have faith in their own argument, so they negate their own argument. It's obvious, the intelligence of design. If you've ever watched a nature film on underwater life, you see the incredible intelligence of the octopus as it changes color to match, etc. One-worldism is another fantasy. People of conscience. Oh, how smug that is. People of conscience. Oh, you're a person of conscience. Oh, golly, gee whiz. So a true person of conscience doesn't grandstand about it. Political science is 220. So what's running the academia now? It used to be in the mid-400s. It's now in 175, 185. At its highest, it's 235. Political science at 220. Social science at 240. Sociology, 260. Now, you notice the difference between the Encyclopedia Britannica and Wikipedia. Wikipedia calibrates at 280. Encyclopedia Britannica is at 460. So these things are drummed into your head. There's a channel that drums these memes into your head. One worldism, all this. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, comes on repetitiously on certain TV channels. Over and over, they repeat this. Why do they repeat it over and over? Why is it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times? You can see why the news commentators are in despair.
You know, we all have our own different paths, but the pathway is she's from faith. So what happened with me is I was a religionist as a child. I was very devout. In fact, I suffered from scrupulosity, and I was afraid of committing a sin inadvertently, you see. My great-grandfather was a bishop, an Episcopal bishop. I was brought up very religious, and the arguments for the existence of God came later in life. Anyway, what happened to me, the way I lost it, was one day I was walking through the woods. And walking through the woods, I wasn't thinking of anything. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, out of nothingness, arose a comprehension and a revelation of the suffering of all of mankind throughout all the ages. It was devastating, a devastating revelation. And instantly, I became an atheist. I said, any God who would allow this, I couldn't believe in a God of lacking in mercy. So I became a very intense atheist for many years. Then I saw the naivete of atheism. Atheism is extremely intellectually naive. And I became more honest, you see, because if you're honest, all you can say is, I, unaided of my own self, am unable to either prove or disprove the existence of God through my intellect. That's the beginning of honesty. So until an atheist goes through that honesty, he really has nothing to say that's very intelligent or very interesting, because the beginning of the opening of true awareness is agnosticism, in which you say all this hokum and Bible stuff, you know, sounded good, you know, 1,000 years ago, but in today's world, what could it possibly mean? So you become an agnostic. The agnostic now, that's the introduction of humility, because you don't realize spiritual reality at all until you transcend the vanity of the ego. And the beginning of the collapse of the vanity of the ego is agnosticism very often. Agnosticism calibrates right at 200. It means the person is stating the truth. The truth is, no man in and of and by himself can through his intellect either prove or disprove the existence of God, and that is an absolute fact. That's a fact. It's the wrong tool for the job, you know. You can't fly. You can't fly without wings, right? So I was an agnostic for many years, and the agnosticism satisfied for a while, but it tends to be too intellectual also. And eventually, an intuitive knowing that there was more to reality and transcendent reality, and the universe than just the intellect. And so I began to transcend agnosticism, and that's when I began to look. I said, I looked within, and the basis of knowingness is obviously coming out of the subjective. And what is subjectivity then? It arises out of consciousness itself. And what is the source of consciousness itself? And that led to the investigation of the inner path, which ended up, of course, in the book forums as Advaita, the search for God through wisdom of the inner self. But that search to within led me to a comprehensive understanding of the ego and how the ego evolved over the centuries, from the beginning of life on this planet until the present day. And through understanding the evolution of the ego, you see the intrinsic innocence of everyone. You see the intrinsic innocence that everyone is a victim of the ego and how it evolved over time. Everybody's mind is like the hardware of the computer, and society then puts in the software. People don't have much say over what they get programmed with. The minute you open a book, the minute you glance at a sign, an advertisement, a fleeting thing on a bus, flick on the TV set, you just got programmed. Now, you didn't give your conscious assent to that. It happened already. An image flashes across the screen, and you just got programmed. So the ego is being programmed round the clock, year in and year out, with all kinds of prevailing belief systems and images and false presumptions. And the ego, by its own design, is unable to discern appearance from essence. Appearance from essence. So the thing about consciousness calibration, the reason I wrote about it is because in the first time in human history, it gives us the capacity to discern essence from appearance. The calibrated level of something is consequent of essence and not of appearance. So a thing can look beautiful and calibrate as quite deadly, or vice versa. A thing can look homely and unattractive and calibrate as extremely high in integris.